Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. Sorry, we had a minute of unexpected technical difficulty this morning, but I thank you once again for being with me for a year in the Word. We live in a time when knowledge is so extremely readily available to us. Amen. I give glory to God because we can flick a switch on our internet and we can just put in a word, a key word, and so many things will flood our space, and we'll have so much knowledge. Now, all of that knowledge is not truth, but we'll have so much that we're able to pick through and read and gain when it is true. Some of it is true and some of it is not. So it behooves us to be discerners on today, because although the truth is readily available to us, so is the lie. Amen. And I present to you the Word of God, the infallible Word. Amen. The one that was written by the hand of God through those that were faithful to Him. Amen. And we know He is God and there is no error in Him. So He would not allow any error to be in His Word. I know there are many out there speaking against the Word of God, but they will have to reap for the words that come out of their mouth, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, He is Lord. Amen. To the glory of the Father. I give glory to God this morning. Amen. And I praise Him that you are here with me. I give glory to God. Amen. Because we are now in the sixth day of the third month, and we are continuing in the Word of God as we have promised from January 1st through December 31st. We are reading the Holy Bible in its entirety to the glory of God and to the deliverance of each and every one of you. I'm praying that God is moving in your lives as we are reading the Word, because the Word is life. The Word is strength. The Word is deliverance. What you have need of, it is in the Word of God. It is in Jesus. All we have to do is lift up our voices to Him and believe, and we will have those things that we have. I give glory to God. Amen. Our timing is not the same as the Lord's timing. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day. So when we're talking about timing and those things that we have asked the Lord for, it might not come today or tomorrow. It might come next month or even next year. But the Lord, hallelujah, He is the one that knows what we need and when we need it. He's our creator, amen, our strong creator, as a matter of fact, the one who has all power, who is all-seeing, all-knowing, and omnipresent. Although I sit here in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, and you may be sitting there in France or in London or in South Africa or in another area of the United States, God is there right where you are right now and right where I am right now. The power of God is moving in the atmosphere for all of us. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. I praise Jesus on today for this great salvation that He's brought to each and every man, to whoever believes. Amen. It is unto you and to your children and to all who is afar off. This glory, this unmerited favor, it is to all of us. It is the gift of God. I give glory to God. Amen. Just thinking about the day of Pentecost, even just before that day, when Jesus spent time with His disciples, giving them instructions about how things were going to transpire after He leaves, and how they would have many enemies, but the glory of the Lord would be with them, and that He was not going to leave them comfortless, but He was going to send His Spirit to them and to be with them at all times, and it would never leave them, nor would it forsake them at any time, because the love of God is something we cannot get away from. We might run like Jonah did, and we still can't run away from the love of God. Ha! Hallelujah, we're loved with an everlasting love, amen, that does not remove itself because of who we are, what we've done, or who we love. God is still there. He to humble ourselves in His presence and receive the gift that He has given, and
He will give us the knowledge and the wisdom as to how to walk in the presence of those that are still in darkness as light. Glory to God in the highest. I give him glory today, and I praise him for his word. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, he told his disciples as he was leaving to wait in Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. And you know what they did? They obeyed the Lord, and they went to Jerusalem into the upper room, and it was the season of Pentecost. When everyone was coming into Jerusalem anyway, many Jews from all lands and all nations were coming back to home. Amen. It was home time. Amen. It was the feast of Pentecost, one of the feasts that the Lord had ordained that they were to take part in throughout their generations. They were all coming into Jerusalem. So there were many people there to witness this mighty move of God. But there they were, 120, amen, disciples and followers of Jesus were in the upper room waiting to be endued with power from on high, not knowing exactly how the Lord was going to manifest himself, but knowing that he was, because he said so, and God is not a man that he should lie. So they waited, and they worshiped, and they praised Jesus, and they prayed, and all of a sudden, hallelujah, something began to move upon them in the room. The presence of the Holy Spirit began to overshadow each and every one of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And each and every one of them spoke unknown tongue as the Spirit moved them to speak. They were speaking in languages that they had not learned. Amen. From lands they had not been in. Because these were men and women of Galilee. Amen. They were poor. They were not educated. But those on the outside, they heard their native tongues being spoken by those poor Galileans on that day. Glory to God in the highest. Those poor Galileans begin to speak in their native tongues. Amen. Tongues that they had not learned, tongues that were not known to them. But the Spirit of the Lord had overshadowed their tongues and overshadowed their lives and filled them full of his presence. And the manifestation was speaking in tongues. And those on the outside began to inquire, what is this we hear? I hear the tongue of my land. And they begin to name the places that they were from and the tongues that they were hearing so clearly from those that were from Galilee. What a miracle in the midst of these. Amen. Somebody even accused them of being drunk. Amen. But it was an hour in which it was not likely that any Jew was drinking. And I give glory to God, amen, because he knows exactly how to manifest himself and what time, amen, that manifestation is needed in the earth, amen. And the people of God, amen, began to inquire. And Peter stood up in the midst of the 120 and began to preach to them Jesus of Nazareth, the one who they had condemned, the one who they had crucified. And he began to preach, amen, the ministry of Jesus and the salvation of Jesus. And at the end of that first message that Peter had ever preached in his, amen, the people of God began to inquire. Those that were at there in Jerusalem at the feast of Pentecost began to inquire, men and brethren, what should we do to be saved? Glory to God. That same salvation that happened on the day of Pentecost, amen, is going forth right now in the earth. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord started a revolution on that day in the Spirit. Amen. He put to naught everything that the devil had tried to do. He canceled every assignment over every life of every person, amen, that would say yes to the Lord on that day. He filled those who believed with his presence, just like he promised. And the promise of God is to you. Amen. Also, amen. Peter said it, that it is to you and to your children and to as many that as are afar off. It is to you too. Hallelujah. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten your circumstance. But on that day, Peter stood up And they, when they asked men and brethren, what do we do to be saved? He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And be baptized in the name of Jesus, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This thing you see us doing, this as the Spirit of God is moving upon us, has taken over us and taken over our spirit of God, wants to do that for you too. He was letting them know. It's to you and to your children and to as many as are afar off. Amen. This word is to go out into the whole earth, to all nations. Amen. The Jews were first, but then came the Gentiles. Amen. And he made us partakers of his spirit, just as he did the Jews on that day and the disciples on that day. And they became, and they were already followers of Christ. They were first called Christians in Antioch. And it may even have been them being teased. I mean, you know how people do. They'll call you names when you're doing a certain thing that you don't, that they don't understand. And I don't know if they were taunting them or if that was a name of honor that they were giving them. But it is an honor to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. And I mean a true follower of Christ, not just in name only. Amen. But the word says to repent. Amen, and be baptized in the name of Jesus, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then one of the teachings that Jesus brought forth when he was teaching them is that his spirit was like living water, and that living water would bubble up from our bellies, and that is what the Spirit of God does. Amen. It comes up out of our bellies and out of our mouths. Amen. Comes. Amen. Those tongues, those unknown tongues, times when we will speak just as they did on that day, in languages that we have not learned, from in lands that we've never been. Amen. And we'll speak to someone who is hearing the word of God that he wants them to hear and to know. Amen. That is a manifestation of the might of God and his spirit. Amen. And we become followers. We become obedient to the Spirit of God. He said that he came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. His Spirit is what gives us that life. His Spirit is what redirects us. His Spirit is the reason that we can be in the midst of a horrible situation and gain direction from the Spirit of God and be able to walk out of it as a victor and not a victim. It's the Spirit of God that does that for us, and it is his grace. Amen, that has allowed it, his unmerited favor, because though all of us were worthy of death, he gave us life. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. And we are once again in a year in the word. Amen. And his word is what brought life. His word is what brought forth these words of life. His word is a living word, living precepts. They are alive. Hallelujah. And if you apply them to your life, they will change your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Follow those things that Peter told to the people in Jerusalem on that day. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We look further down in the word in the book of Acts, and there were many, amen, that were baptized unto John's baptism and were asked, have you received the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they had not heard whether there even be a Holy Spirit. Amen. And Paul began to preach unto them and teach them the word more perfectly. And they too received, hallelujah, the Spirit of God and began to prophesy and speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Another example, Cornelius, a Gentile. Glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord gave him a dream, and he went seeking the man who was in his dream. That man was Peter. And the Lord had also given Peter a dream at the same time when Cornelius had sent his servants to seek Peter and to bring him back that he might know all about this Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord had told him about, because Cornelius, amen, was a man who was upright in his heart as much as he knew how to be. He wanted to be right with God. Amen. And he made it known to God. And his prayers went up before God as a memorial. This man who did not know God at all and had not heard the words of Jesus spoken, he honored God Hallelujah. Glory to God. He honored him anyhow. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him to seek out Peter. And Peter got a dream also. And he and his, and those with him went. And they followed the servant of Cornelius. And they came into the home of a Gentile. And that Gentile began to tell him the dream that he had. And glory to God Almighty. Amen. As amazed as Peter was that the Lord had also offered this great salvation to a Gentile, he began to speak the words of life to Cornelius and to all of his household. And they too began to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. As a manifestation of the presence of God Almighty. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Peter said, hey, God has given you his spirit. We must find water to baptize you. So they were baptized after they had received the spirit. So it doesn't matter in what order you did it. God comes as he comes. He does it how he does it. This is his movement. Hallelujah. I just praise God that I'm a part of it. And I hope you are too. And if you're not, I hope you hear my words and begin to call on the name of Jesus. And he will meet you right there in your prayer, just like he did for Cornelius. You don't have to have heard his name before today, because Cornelius didn't know. He just knew that he wanted to honor God, the true and the living God. And he wanted to live by his standards and not the standards of men. And his prayers went up before him and before God as a memorial. The Lord remembered him. And he will remember you. Amen. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Call on his name. Amen. And he will come. Glory to God. I'm reading and you're hearing from Genesis chapter 36 through 39. It actually is a long reading. So I'm sure we will go into the archives at this point, since I've used some of our airtime. Amen. To give a word of encouragement to you that today is the day of salvation. All glory and all praise to Jesus, my Savior. Amen. My hope, my Haley, the author, hey, the author and the finisher of my faith, the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith and of my soul. I give him glory and I submit my life to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, open our minds and our hearts, Lord God, to receive of your word on today, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Cana, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, Aholabama, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibion, the Hivite, and Bethsemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebojah. Now, Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, and Beth bore Reuel, and Aholabama bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the persons of his household, his cattle and all his animals and all his goods which he had gained in the land of Canaan, and went to a country far away from the presence of his brother Jacob. For their possessions were too great for them to dwell together, and the land where they were strangers could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And this is the genealogy of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These were the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau, and Reuel, the son of Bethsemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Katam, and Kenaz. Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore Amalek to Eliphaz. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, Mizah. These were the sons of Bethsemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholimah, Aholibama. I'm sorry, I am going to have difficulty with her name. If you can pronounce it better, please do. Amen, but continue to listen. Esau's wife, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibion, and she bore to Esau Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs of the sons of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, were the chief Teman, chief Omar, chief Zepho, chief Kenaz, chief Korah, chief Gotham, and chief Amalek. These were the chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. They were the sons of Adah. These were the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, chief Nahath, chief Zerah, chief Shammah, chief Mizah. These were the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Basamah, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibamah, Esau's wife, chief Jeush, chief Jalam, and chief Korah. These were the chiefs who descended from Aholibamah, Esau's wife, the daughter of Anah. These were the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lotan, Shobal, Zibion, Anna, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishan, and Dishan, I'm sorry. These were the chiefs of the Horites, the sons of Zir, in the land of Edom. And the sons of Lotan were Hori and Hemam. Lotan's sister was Timnah. These were the sons of Shobal, Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. These were the sons of Zibion, both Aja and Anna. This was the Anna who found the water in the wilderness as he pastured donkeys of his father Zibion. These were the children of Anna, Dishan, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anna. These were the sons of Dishon, Himdan, Ashban, Ithran, and Shiran. These were the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zavan, and Akan. These were the sons of Dishan. These were the chiefs of the Horites, chief Lotan, chief Shobal, chief Zibion, chief Anna, chief Dishon, chief Ezar, chief Dishan. These were the chiefs of the Horites, according to their chiefs in the land of Seir. Now these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhaba. And when Bela died, Jobab, the son of Zerah and Bazra, reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Husham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. And when Husham died, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who attacked Midian and the field of Moab, reigned in his place. And the name of the city was Avith. When Hadad died, Samla of Masrika reigned in his place. And when Samla died, Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place. When Saul died, Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. And when Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, Hadar reigned in his place. And the name of his city was Pau. His wife was Mehatabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezhab. And these were the names of the chiefs of Esau, according to their families and their places by their names. Chief Timnah, Chief Alva, Chief Zedeth, Chief Ali Aholibamah, Chief Ala, Chief Tinan, Chief Kenaz, Chief Timon, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magbiel, and Chief Aram. These were the chiefs of Edom, according to their dwelling places, in the land of their possession. Esau was the father of the Edomites. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed to my sheaf." And all his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring word back to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And a man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him in this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brother, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brother and said, "The lad is no more, and where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. And they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn in pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard. came to pass at the time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he married her and went in to her. So she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Er. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. He was at Shizib when she bore him. Then Judah took a wife of Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. Onan, his go in to your wife, to your brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up an heir to your brother. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And it came to pass when he went in to his brother's wife that he emitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Therefore he killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. For he said, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shears at Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come in to you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. He said, will you give me that you may come in? What will you give me that you may come in to me, is what she said. And he said, I will send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he did not find her. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed. For I sent this young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. When she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son, and he never knew her again. Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth, and behold, twins were in her womb. So it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened, as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly. And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was Perez. Afterward his brother came out, who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, and that the Lord, blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the land. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and did not know that he had, and did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, and see, he had brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with like words, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there. It was for the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Amen. I have read, and you have heard from Genesis chapters 36 through 39. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God keep you, and God anoint you. I sincerely hope that you will continue in this journey with me through a year in the word. Amen.